Stay locked in with Clemson football coverage all summer long. Only on The Roar.
And the Sultans. Yeah, the Sultans that play Creole. Creole.
Welcome back. Glad to have you with us. Tiger Sports, tigersports.com. 50th anniversary. You know, I talk about the collections all the time, and the two I give you maybe more than anything else is the Lululemon stuff, the Nike stuff, actually the three, and then the Tiger Sports collection. But they've got them all over there. And one of the things that we don't talk enough about is you know, a lot of you out there are Johnny O people or Southern Tide people, or you might be Tommy Bahama or Vineyard Vines people. They've got it. A lot of your Yeti folks over there, they've got that. The Cutters and Bucks and the Champions and the Columbias and the they've got it all over at Tiger Sports. So 50 years of doing it right. College Avenue, Tiger Boulevard, tigersports.com.
Mickey, I bought my first Lululemon piece ever back in May at Tiger Sports Shop.
Yeah, you like it?
Yeah, a little gift for my daughter.
Oh, I thought you meant for you.
No.
Oh, okay. Does she like it?
Well, yes.
Good.
I'm hesitate because I was looking at the screen here, but yeah, she absolutely loved it, and so it's pretty cool.
I'm glad to hear
my first ever Lululemon purchase right there at Tiger Sports Shop.
Love it. 50th anniversary, tigersports.com. Tour guest lines, Paul Strelo, tigerillustrator.com. Good morning, Paul. How you doing?
I am doing great. Hope you gentlemen are as well.
We are. When we last talked on Thursday, we kind of had some projections from you, so we knew it was coming down the line, but after last Thursday, the Tigers got two commitments after our conversation, including J.R. Hardrick from South Pittsburgh, Tennessee, and then Carter Scruggs, the offensive lineman out of Leesburg, Virginia. Let's begin with Scruggs, the sixth offensive lineman commitment. And, Paul, I'll ask you the first question about him. I'll let you expand on it. Could you make a case that this might be the highest potential of the six offensive line commitments?
I think you could, and I don't know that I would have said that maybe even 2 months ago. Like, I think I thought Scruggs was good, but then he came back from injury, had two really strong performances at the big camps. Like, he traveled around and went to a camp in New Jersey, went to a camp in Dallas, Texas, one Rivals camp, the other Under Armour. And those are really the two big ones as far as the camp circuit goes. One position MVP at both of those. And neither one of those was a situation where it was political and they kind of hand you the award just for showing up, based on, you know, different accounts that I have from people who were there. Certain camps, like one, he was really good at guard, better at guard than tackle. The other, he was really good at tackle. And I think when you just kind of add in the measurables there, and just the momentum he gained through the spring, that one you feel pretty good about in combination with who you beat. You know, when Michigan, Penn State are going after offensive linemen, you feel like you're probably in the right crowd. And so I think to get him, and you know, as you look at the profile of each one of Clemson's offensive line commitments, and there's something multiple things to like about each. You know, but when you add in size and specs with the combination, you know, who they had to beat to get him, you know, I think that certainly there's a case to be made for him having the highest upside of them. You know, I still really like Chance Barkley out of Florida and would probably rate him the highest for me of the six. But I think there's a case to be made for Scruggs and feeling pretty doggone good about that acquisition.
The other one, defensive end, J.R. Hardrick, South Pittsburgh, Tennessee, three-star, mm-hmm. More of a little of a project as opposed to maybe some of the other defensive ends recruiting, but thoughts on that defensive end?
Yeah, so, you know, I think that, you know, as you even, you know, I think to Georgia's success a lot, you know, when they even came into South Carolina and got Ingram's Dawkins out of Gaffney. But they have a great track record of taking big kids and turning them into football players. And those are the kind of guys that, you know, the guys who get drafted are, size and whatnot, and people expect defensive linemen to dominate in high school to get high accolades, and that's not often the case. I mean, the coach, you know, coaches say they get paid to develop, you know, which is partly true. You also get paid to recruit, but you know, circling back to your whole point there, off that side tangent, is that you know I think Clemson found they wanted a bigger body at defensive end. And they found it, as well as other facets that check boxes for them. You know, I don't think that this was a huge NIL, high-profile kid that was going to travel around and kind of play the game. You know, a low-radar kid, blue-collar, knows what he wants, but, you know, has that type of body that they are looking for, but someone that it will settle in and be developed. You know, he had Louisville, Georgia Tech, kind of come to the table this spring. But I think Chris Rumpf went out there, liked what he saw from athleticism, you know, maybe even, you know, thought that he played better at tight end than he did at defensive end. But, you know, that just kind of showed just kind of some jumping and leaping ability and maybe a little more explosion than they anticipated. So I think they are very pleased with what they get, even though you know, it might not come with a lot of recruiting stars or a lot of the marquee splash. But someone that fits the mold of what they were looking for that position.
With that said, those two positions, we always ask you about boards. Again, one of the things, you never say never, but are we inching closer to saying never that the Tigers are done on the offensive line?
Oh, I think so. You know, are there various scenarios where you could see something happen and ultimately Dabo Swinney makes that decision on when you take someone? But I think that, you know, as circumstances stand and what has been communicated to other targets is that at least for the time being, you know, Clemson is done. So, yes, long story short, right now they are done.
Defensive end is a different story, though, and you got a combo guy in there as well. But I'll ask you about the rest of the board there. What's the rest of the board of defensive end look like at this point?
Yeah, if I'm looking at just the traditional classic, here's the guy who is going to be a defensive end. Dre Quinn is the one that's on the pedestal, and he's the one they had in for the official visit weekend. You know, I think as you're seeing across the landscape, a lot of these guys are more intent to see through their visits for a number of reasons. But Quinn was back at UGA last weekend. He's got Notre Dame coming up. You know, so there have been several contenders knocked Tennessee out of the equation. But I think Clemson is the team to beat. And, you know, I think he's someone that, based on what ranking you're going off of, I think Rivals has him pretty high. I think that one is right. You know, I think when you see him eyeball test, he started to fill out even more than people were anticipating back when he was at 225. And so I think if whoever gets him is going to be pretty happy, and I think everybody who's recruiting him thinks Clemson is the team to beat. So that's a good sign for the Tigers. You know, the name that doesn't really get thrown in the conversation a lot is Bryce Perry-Wright, four-star out of Buford, Georgia. You know, that's because the industry views him as a defensive tackle. But really, you know, I think he's 6'2", 255. You know, is he going to become a 300-pounder? I think that is doubtful. And I think if you look at his skill set right now, he is best, you know, as an edge rusher. He's an explosive athlete. So I think he's someone who starts his career as a defensive end. And you can play him inside, play him outside. And I think somewhat the way the game has gone, you've got more players like that that are versatile and you can vary your scheme and different subs and situational packages there. So, you know, we just kind of call him a defensive lineman, and I think that is because he could be, you know, like your Daquan Bowers, who everybody viewed he was going to be a defensive tackle, starts off a defensive end and never moves from there. So we'll see where his career goes, but I think he starts at defensive end, and you go from there.
If let me play a hypothetical game with you a little bit. If the Tigers close on Quinn, to go along with Hardrick, and if they can close on Bryce Perry-Wright, and let's say that Keyshawn Stansel coming in later this month that you do that. What would that defensive line? That's a five-person defensive line class. All the talks about offensive line, but how would you categorize if you could close on those three guys to, and have that kind of defensive line?
Oh, I mean, you know, I think at Clemson recruiting, I think at number one starts a quarterback, and I think number two goes to defensive line. And I think in this era, you know, if you're able to get, I mean, that would be, you know, I'm sorry, as I'm going doing the math there. I mean, that is three high-end defensive linemen that Clemson would end up with, combined with a Cameron Cody, who Tennessee and Georgia Tech have been trying to get back in on, you know, who is probably more of your Tyler Davis profile and type there. You know, so if you're able to get that and a Hardrick, who is a younger, you know, a longer-term type deal, I think it's hard to do these days is to get the high-end guys. And particularly, you know, I think when you go back to even just a couple of years ago when Clemson grabbed Peter Woods, Vic Burley, Stephylin Green, all top 150 types, that is, I won't say it's impossible to do anymore, but when you look at the budgeting involved and the market for those types, that is a challenge and that not a lot can pull off. And so I think if you're able to get a Bryce Perry Wright, Stancil, Anna Quinn all together in a package, you know, to me, I understand the revelry behind the offensive line class, and it warrants it based on what Clemson has gone through in the past. But if you're looking at the most impactful position groups to have come in with this class, defensive line is right there when you can get that caliber.
Paul Strehler's our guest, TigerIllustrated.com. Speaking of closing things out, I'll not to handicap it, but one more safety maybe. Could the Tigers get a Joey O'Brien? Could the Tigers get a Blake Stewart at that safety class?
You know, so they brought in three for the official visit weekend. Joey O'Brien, the high four-star, in my opinion, really blew up this spring out of Philadelphia. Then you got Blake Stewart out of Atlanta, and then Tylan Wilson out of Mississippi. You know, I would probably right now put Wilson third among those, and I think he's just seeing through several visits. But I think Clemson really moved the needle with Stewart on that official visit. You know, I think that, you know, Clemson has always played well with that area and DB. You know, I think others kind of attracted his eye through the spring. As he's someone to me that can play a little corner. He can play a lot of the different safety positions. Michigan, Miami, I think all kind of got his attention, but I think Clemson really moved the needle over the official visit weekend. Could that change? Certainly, but I think right now Clemson likewise is the team to beat there. O'Brien to me is someone that you take regardless of what happens. You know, if they get O'Brien, that's another story. I think there are scenarios by which you could get four, depending on timing and how everything plays out. But I don't think Clemson would or should turn down a Joey O'Brien if he wants to come. He goes to Notre Dame this weekend on official visits, coming off one from Oregon. I think that Oregon was going to be too far for him. Penn State is one that you can't rule out, but I think Penn State's the one that feels like they're in it more than anybody else thinks Penn State's in it. So Notre Dame is, you know, he's a young man that has liked the school he has visited last usually. And Notre Dame had some momentum coming out of the spring. So the Irish are certainly a threat going into this weekend. But they haven't particularly closed very well on a number of prospects. And I think with Clemson getting some momentum off of its official visit weekend, I think that one has become much more of a possibility than anyone, or at least certainly a lot in my shoes, thought coming out of the spring. I think Clemson was in it. I think now Clemson is a real contender going down the stretch, and we'll see what happens there. But there are scenarios, you know, I think that Clemson, you know, you could see a scenario by which Clemson came out with none. You could see one, you know, with one. And I think depending on how dominoes fell, you could see fall. Yeah, you could see two coming out.
All right, let me play the game for you in the final minute or so. O'Brien has announced the June 20th. It feels like, now, unless things change, maybe, and you correct me if I'm wrong here, but Stewart's not announced a commitment date. If O'Brien, talk about that, what that announcement means to Stewart, because if he doesn't go, then maybe your sense of urgency gets better with Stewart. But if he does go, do you still take Stewart if he does decide to go after that June 20th date?
You know, I believe Clemson does. And I think they like Stewart, and I think, you know, they see the need for some help back there. I think you also got Stewart, someone who has kind of talked like he wants to play and dabble in some offense. And so there's that dynamic. And Stewart, in my opinion, as I mentioned, you know, I don't know that O'Brien plays corner. I think he is a safety type, strictly. I think Stewart can play nickel and even in that Kayvon Wallace kind of mold, Makuba, play some corner. I think that kind of piece, particularly as we're looking at Clemson's cornerback spot right now, and things going on with Danny Odom and them not really having another big corner, you know, I think that you could easily make the case and see it happen where Clemson would take both, even if O'Brien takes the spot first.
Interesting times, and timing is important in this, and I know you'll follow all of that. Tell me about what's coming up. Should be another busy week. You got a lot of the camp stuff you're still rolling out, but a busy time for TigerIllustrated.com.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Clemson's had 20 plus offers to rising juniors after that first week of the Dabo Swinney camp, including a very important one at quarterback. So a lot more coming out from there, as well as we're getting into official visits this weekend and next weekend. That's when you're starting to see things escalate as far as activity toward decisions and final verdicts and things Clemson are tracking as they close this class, not only with, you know, safety, as we mentioned, defensive line, a banner linebacker thereafter, running back pursuits, you know, a lot juggling there. So plenty going on still to cover.
Love it. Love the fluidity of all of that and so much more. Love the Daily Insider from what you do. Paul Strelo, TigerIllustrated.com. Enjoy this week, and let's talk. Let's preview that O'Brien decision and things that might change with now and next Thursday.
Yes, sir. Appreciate it, Mickey.
You too. Talk Paul Strelo, TigerIllustrated.com. We'll come back. It's not Tuesday at 8:05. It's Thursday at 8:25. Tony Morrell, we had some technical difficulties. We get with Tony and talking about a couple of South Carolina commitments. We come back right after this.
Sitting here again today with our good friend Gary Mahaffey of Insurance for Seniors and Disabled. Gary, listener asked, Walt, I have a small business and wonder if Gary would like to work with our employees who are reaching retirement age, and if so, at what charge?
Great and timely question, listener. We have just launched a new service this year doing exactly what you've asked. We will work with small to medium-sized companies who have people retiring and need our Medicare services. In addition to teaching them the Medicare ropes and how to access Medicare, I will call on my old HR background to support what the employer is doing through their retiree benefits package as well. And again, my charge, as always, is zero.
There you have it, listener. Give Gary a call today at 864-307-8484. Again, 864-307-8484. And as always, you will thank me later.
Tired of the same old look? Want to get a fresh, stylish haircut for the summer? Rooster's Grooming is the place to be. With highly skilled barbers and a comfortable, relaxed environment, Rooster's Grooming offers a unique grooming experience that's second to none. Whether it's a classic cut or a modern style, their team can make it happen. So why wait? Get your summer haircut at Rooster's Grooming. Make an appointment today by calling 864-884-8920. Rooster's Grooming, where style meets tradition.
Danny Ford here for my good friends at Bennett Equipment, who have stood the test of time selling and renting construction equipment for 25 years now. Bennett is one of the top five dealers in the country for Takeuchi compact equipment, and when you deal with Bennett and Takeuchi, you get the quality, dependability, and service you expect and deserve. So call or stop by today and tell them Danny Ford sent you. Take it from me, when you need equipment, buy it or rent it from Bennett.
Geiger Forestry presents Rock the Ranch Music Festival Saturday, June 14th. Music by Sam Morrow, Clayton Isle Young, Georgia Thunderbolts, Hannah Dasher, and more. Get tickets at rocktheranchmusicfest.com. Use code ROAR for $20 off your ticket.
It's bow time. The only thing you want after a made-from-scratch Bojangles biscuit with juicy country ham is another one. For a limited time, get two ham biscuits for $5. That's two fluffy country ham biscuits. Cravings meet savings. Order in the app or at Bojangles. It's bow time.
July 4th, the City of Seneca's Independence Day celebration kicks off the weekend. It's a Friday night. Get ready for a fun show. Remember, it's absolutely free for the entire family. We'll have water slides, a gaming truck, food and drink vendors, and a lot more fun. Gates open at 5 o'clock. First show starts at 6 with Grand Paradise. It's a salute to Styx. Then after that, Mayor Dan Alexander will do the invocation and we'll have our national anthem at 8 o'clock. And right after that, it's Satisfaction with a tribute to the Rolling Stones. Then at 9:30, it's what everybody's been waiting for. It's the award-winning fireworks show.
And I'm proud to be an American.
Remember, if you want more information, you can follow us on Facebook at Seneca SC Events. And happy birthday, America. Join us for Seneca's Independence Day celebration. 5 o'clock, July 4th, Gillette Field. And remember, everything is free.
Hey, ladies. Mark your calendars for the 16th Dabo Swinney Ladies Clinic, presented by The Roar. Join us on Saturday, July 19th at Little John Coliseum for a day filled with football, shopping, and fighting for a cure for breast cancer. Meet the 2025 Tiger players and staff and shop from over 40 amazing vendors. Registration is open until Friday, June 27th. All proceeds benefit breast cancer initiatives in South Carolina. You can register at dabosallinteam.com. That's dabosallinteam.com. Go Tigers. See y'all in July.
Broadcasting live from the Upcountry Fiber Studios, this is 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar. Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
Beat the heat with unbeatable takes. This is The Roar, where every day is game day.
You can't always get what you want. But if you try sometimes, well, you might find you get what you need.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah. Landman, I'm just making fun. I have my teacher cup, but I got my David Ledbetter cup, though, so let me see that. Get a little Ledbetter in there. Welcome back. Glad to have you with us. Our great friends here at our advertising and sales department are excited. Burns Digital. It's a huge part of what we're doing here in the company and your local full-service digital marketing powerhouse. And so they handle everything from powerful SEO to cutting-edge digital video campaigns on the big screen and the small screen. And what happens now with geofencing is you can pinpoint your customers and you reach the exact local audience that you're looking for. You get that on the big screen. You get that connected TVs just like the pros do. And you get this now for 100% local expertise. These people know this market, and they're going to help you out. And Burns Digital, proud part of the Roy family. This is a same quality and community commitment you get here at the radio station. You get it now in digital marketing. And so if you want to grow your business to its full potential, combine with Burns Digital Marketing ad campaign with the Roar and make this great marketing strategy. Go online to find out more. Go to theroarfm.com, theroarfm.com. Click on the advertising tab there and learn more about helping your business grow with Burn Digital. To our guest lines again, as I thank you, Tony. We had some technical issues on Tuesday. I do appreciate you making time for us because we do have commitments to talk about. Good morning, Tony Morrell, the Big Spur. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Mickey. How about you?
Great. We keep up with commitments at a higher level, and we did this double take, a little juicy fruit, double your pleasure here. With Andrew and Hayden Harris, twins out of Matthews, North Carolina. Tell us about the latest Gamecocks coming from one family to South Carolina.
Yes. I think Harris brothers have been trending to South Carolina for quite a while leading up to their official visit, which they took last weekend. And, everything went well enough for them to go ahead and pull the trigger on their commitments while they were on campus. Aiden Harris is about 6'4", 250 right now. They think he compares favorably to a guy like Tonka Hemingway, who played some on the edge, some on the inside, but, always found a way to be productive and make plays regardless of where he was lined up pre-snap. And, they think there's a lot of similarities between the two from a build standpoint and an athletic standpoint. And, you know, we're certainly excited to get him in the boat. You know, he's a high four-star guy on the 24/7 sports composite rankings. I think number 5 defensive lineman in the country, number 4 overall player in the state of North Carolina. So certainly a strong pickup in Aiden. But they also like Andrew Harris, another player who's a four-star player in the 24/7 sports composite rankings. He's listed as an edge. I think for South Carolina, they view him as a linebacker. Clayton White was his primary recruiter and would like him to be a part of his linebacker room once he gets to South Carolina. He's about 6'2", 235 right now. And another productive player and just, you know, both of them are really good kids, good students, good teammates, and I think are nice additions to the roster overall.
All right, board-wise, defensive end and linebacker board-wise, what does that do? Because you've got some open spots. I think I'm right by saying this. One linebacker in Britt from Alabama. But what does it do to those two boards?
Yeah, you know, they could take one more linebacker or they could stick with those two. I think it just depends on, you know, who the possibilities are. I think they would like to continue to add more players to the defensive line, both at edge and on the interior. So, Andrew Harris would just be one piece of multiple puzzles on the defensive line. I'd say 2 to 3 linebackers in this class, and having 2 committed, so it could go either way as to whether they take another one.
All right, KJ Johnson, Birmingham, Alabama, a tall cornerback, commits to the Gamecocks as well. Can you tell us about the most recent one here?
Yeah, about 6'2", 175, 180, out of Birmingham, Alabama, Woodlawn High School. He fits the mold of the kind of guys that Torian Gray has recruited during his time in South Carolina. You know, there haven't been a lot of, headline-grabbing commitments that Gray has gotten for South Carolina, but he seems to always find a way to get the majority of his players to the point where they can contribute and get the most out of their talent. And I think he's one of the best in the country at what he does. And, you know, Johnson is another one who wasn't, super highly recruited. He did have some other, SEC offers and bigger offers like Arkansas and West Virginia and Ole Miss and schools like that. But he's a guy that Torian Gray targeted and really liked him on film, liked what he saw from him. I had him in camp last summer, and is a guy that could play some safety, could play corner, brings versatility to the table, which is another trait that so many of the defensive backs that Gray recruits share. He wants guys who can line up in multiple spots and be cross trained and have the tools to help at multiple positions if needed. And Johnson certainly fits the bill there. So. He's a 3-star guy, but one that I think Torian Gray is a little bit higher on than his ranking would suggest.
All right, now rest of the board there at that position. Numbers wise, what are we talking about at this point?
Yeah, I would say they've got Jazavion Currents committed as well. Tamarion Watkins is another big priority in the secondary and a guy that I think they lead on. I would think they would probably take it, certainly one more, but possibly 2 and up to maybe even 3 more, depending on how things play out numbers-wise and how they feel about some of the guys on the roster who could potentially go pro early. A guy like Jalen Kilgore is a guy you have to watch who's a junior going into the season, but certainly could be a guy who heads to the NFL after next season. A little bit fluid there, but at least one more, but probably 2 more if I had to guess right now.
All right, official visits this past weekend. You've already talked about a couple of guys committing from that standpoint, but how'd the rest of the official visit weekend go?
It went well overall. Landon Duckworth a former South Carolina commitment at quarterback, a four-star kid out of Alabama, had a great visit. You know, he decommitted while Dow Loggins was still the offensive coordinator and quarterback's coach, and South Carolina continued to recruit him, and Mike Shula has done a good job of rebuilding that relationship and really, you know, painting his vision on how he would use Duckworth if he came to South Carolina. He canceled his Ole Miss and Florida State visit, so he's down to South Carolina and Auburn, and we'll see how that one plays out. But I think the coaching staff felt good about their position with him coming off of the visit and feel good right now. But, you know, he's from Alabama, and you know, you have to sort of hold your breath until you get it done with a player from the state of Alabama as you're competing with one of the in-state schools. But feel pretty good about where they stand with him. Zion Giles, guy that I really am high on and believe had a chance to be a really good player for South Carolina, was already committed coming into the visit, but shut down his recruiting and is not going to take other visits. And I think that was a storyline that got lost a little bit with the fans, because I think they tend to focus more on the uncommitted players, which I understand, but it was good news with him. He had a great visit and, you know, really felt comfortable enough to not take any other visits. Noah Clark, the four-star defensive tackle from Durham, was in and had a good visit. He announces on July 2nd. He still has visits left with Virginia Tech and NC State, and I think will return from Notre Dame today. He was there started on the 10th. He'll return from Notre Dame today, head to Virginia Tech tomorrow, and then NC State the following weekend before sitting down to make his decision. You know, I think South Carolina is, you know, right there at the top, probably the team to beat. NC State is probably the biggest competition, with Notre Dame obviously is another team that you have to watch out for with their history and tradition. But I think the Gamecocks are in a fairly good position with them, but that one's not over, and that's one they're probably going to have to continue to recruit up until he makes his final decision. Kamari Blair is another offensive lineman, offensive tackle, who out of Tennessee, and Kirkwood and Clarksville, and I think he's a guy they are in good position with. He's supposed to take other visits to Tennessee and Ole Miss. We'll see if he takes them. I think South Carolina felt very good when he left campus about their position with him. He's a three-star on 24/7 Sports, a four-star in the composite rankings, but they felt pretty good about the way things went, and would love to add him to the offensive line room. 6'6", 280, and you know, good athleticism, and a physical player on film. So they feel pretty good about him, but we'll see if he takes those other visits. And then Kenyon Britt is an edge player, already committed to him. Everything is solid with him. Joel Kombe is another player who has a commitment coming up July 9th. He is set to visit Wisconsin this weekend, Tennessee next weekend, and then again, like I said, make his commitment on July 9th. So, you know, I think he's another one that they felt like things went about as well as they could. He's a safety. But with Tamarion Watkins out there as well at safety, you know, it'll be interesting to see how they approach things with Kombe, if they push hard and try to take both, or if they try to focus on Watkins a little bit more and try to get him in the boat. And then the final one was Koski Barnes, a cornerback prospect who has already visited Rutgers. He goes to Miami this weekend, Kentucky the following weekend, and is expected to make a decision sometime this summer. He's out of Greensboro. Another tall cornerback, 6'3", 190. You know, another one in the mold of the kind of guys that Torian Gray likes. And they felt like he had a good visit as well, but he hasn't been on campus as much as some of the other guys have. So, you know, we'll see how things play out after he takes his other visit. But, you know, but I think he had a a good official visit and liked a lot of the things he saw in Columbia from what he told us.
All right, no official visits this weekend. The big one again next weekend. Hey, just a quick one in our final minute. You had some uncommitted guys. That any movement from those that first weekend? Dean Meadows, Adams, Johnson, Sebastian, some of those guys. Any and then running back Thomas, the Florida State commitment. But any movement or any kind of getting closer decisions on those guys from 2 weeks ago?
Not a lot. You know, Meadows, there was some talk that he might not take all of his visits that he had scheduled, but now he's come out since then and said that he is going to take those visits. Similar situation with Pierre Dean. You know, they felt pretty good about where things stood, but he's going to take other visits, and they know that they're going to have a fight on their hands with him. And you know, Georgia and Ohio State are the big competition. If I had to guess, I would say Georgia is probably the most likely destination for him. And then four-star corner Kerry Adams is another one that they continue to battle with. He has Notre Dame this weekend. He was at Michigan last weekend, and then goes to Oregon on June 20th, and then plans to make a decision sometime after that. But I'd say Penn State is another team in there to really watch with him. But South Carolina is the only SEC school he's visiting, so we'll see if that ends up being a positive for him or not.
We'll see. Tell us about what's coming up. An awful lot of news here at thebigspur.com and how folks can subscribe.
Yeah, just go to thebigspur.com and very easy sign-up process. Become a VIP member. Get all the great Gamecock info. We've got a ton of recruiting information on the site right now, from official visitors to camp offers to camp evaluations. And it's a great time to join to get a lot of content for your money. So just go to thebigspur.com and become a premium member today.
Place to find it, thebigspur.com. Always appreciate it. Let's preview that big recruiting weekend when we visit next Thursday.
Sounds good. Thanks, Mick.
Thank you for rescheduling with us. Tony Morrell, thebigspur.com. Hey, my great friends at Patterson Tax Service, saving you money on your taxes, on your extended taxes, if you're doing the any kind of amended taxes, if you got any back taxes, don't mess around with that stuff, man. Do it right. Take care of it. Go to the professionals. They'll do an incredible job for you at the Patterson Tax Service. Also, tax planning and evaluation. And right now, you small businesses, let's think about it. Let's get with the Patterson Tax Service. Let them do your bookkeeping, payroll, accounting, all that tracking. And they'll take that out of your hair, and that'll allow you to spend more time with the family. You'll spend more time with your employees. You'll spend more time with your customers. You're going to love our great friends at the Patterson Tax Service. 864-859-8289. 864-859-8289. We have a new leader. I'll tell you who is leading the U.S. Open when you return right after this.
How well do you know the condition of your home's plumbing system? Are you positive that there's not a slow drip behind a wall or under a cabinet? My name is Mike with One Time Plumber, and we're offering a free inspection on your home's entire plumbing system. We're checking everything out, but here's a few highlights of what we're looking for. The condition of your pipes, the condition of your water heater, the pressure in your shower. The list goes on, and we're going to inspect it for free.
The plumber whose name is his number, One Time Plumber. One Time Plumber.
When you wake up well-rested on a great mattress, everything becomes clear.
I do have a favorite child.
Things you missed when you were tired finally reveal themselves.
I should have just said the baby was cute.
It's the actually really seriously best sale of the year for real at Mattress Firm. Get a king bed for a queen price. Save up to $700 on Sealy and get a free adjustable base, plus fast free delivery. The right mattress matters. We'll find yours. Restrictions apply. See store or mattressfirm.com for details.
Bermuda and Zoysa homeowners, it's the perfect time to let topdressing.com make your lawn the envy of the neighborhood with a beautiful dark green, smooth, healthy lawn. Call the experts at topdressing.com at 888-850-1850 or visit topdressing.com and request a free quote. A turf specialist will come out and evaluate your lawn and help you get the proprietary Top Dressing lawn service scheduled. Visit topdressing.com or call 888-850-1850.
This is Joe Cordell of Cordell & Cordell. Serving in the military requires great sacrifices, not just for one's country, but also for one's family. Not surprisingly, divorce for soldiers is especially difficult, and it raises a number of challenges that are peculiar to military divorce, things such as deployments, relocation, retirement benefits. These issues can be complicated. So if you're a soldier facing such challenges, go to CordellCordell.com.
55 Beatty, Greenville. CordellCordell.com.
Walt Tiptula here, inviting you to join the reigning Miss Peach Blossom contest winner Ramona and all the Ragers on Thursday as we reveal the top three in our running back room rankings. We'll also discuss the toughest schedules in college football, review the OKC-Indiana Game 3, preview the Stanley Cup Final Game 4, and mix in a little golf. It's Rageous Thursday. Join us at 3.
Only minutes from the interstate at Exit 1, inviting golfers from Oconee, Anderson, Pickens, and Greenville counties, as well as nearby Atlanta, Chickasaw Point and Overlook Restaurant await you. Chickasaw Point Golf is a hills course, and Overlook Restaurant is a beautiful event venue. Available to host meetings, weddings, anniversaries, and birthdays, a natural, beautiful trip through nature the way golf was meant to be. Discover what others have, the great golfing you'll find at Chickasaw Point.
Hey, hon, what's a Vermeer?
Really? Come on, everybody knows that. Vermeer builds vacuum excavation equipment that's changing how underground utility construction is done from right here in Greenville. Soft dig trenchless innovation that can expose underground utility lines without harming them, leaving a softer environmental impact than harsher, more traditional digging methods.
Whoa, you're smart.
Yep, everybody knows that too.
Visit Vermeer.com/dig to see what everyone's talking about.
Hey ladies, mark your calendars for the 16th Dabo Swinney Ladies Clinic, presented by The Roar. Join us on Saturday, July 19th at Little John Coliseum for a day filled with football, shopping, and fighting for a cure for breast cancer. Meet the 2025 Tiger players and staff and shop from over 40 amazing vendors. Registration is open until Friday, June 27th. All proceeds benefit breast cancer initiatives in South Carolina. You can register at DabosAllInTeam.com. That's DabosAllInTeam.com. Go Tigers. See y'all in July.
105.5 and 97.5. We are the Roar, where every day is game day.
Telling it, George Thorogood needed to cover that song because it would have been natural for him, because that's just him, and that's his I like how he had a alias, I guess, because that's George Thorogood. I'm sorry, I can't go any other way there. Welcome back, American Door Masters. They do what you can't when it comes to those busted garage doors and the springs, the broken springs. I didn't realize this was the case until I started hearing from folks about what American Door Masters does and how they've helped them out. And this issue comes about often. You get the springs that break, and you get all kinds of issues with your commercial and industrial and residential doors. And in the end, talking about locally owned, licensed, bond insured, 24-hour emergency service, because they don't break like when they don't say, hey, by the way, when it's convenient, these springs are going to break. Instead, they break at the wrong time. And so that's when you're going to need that fast, reliable service. Your garage door specialist, AmericanDoorMasters.com. 864-990-3075, 864-990-3075. We have a new leader at the United States Open. Rory McIlroy has birdied two of the first three holes. So, great stuff there. I love this. Texture 0142 says, American Door Masters are great. Capital G, capital R, capital E, capital A, capital T with three exclamation marks. So that's a ringing endorsement, it sounds like to me. A couple of quick things. I thank Tony Morrell and I thank for rescheduling with us. We had that issue there, and I wanted to get all those guys in. And then the Paul Strelow. Interesting information. Tigers and Gamecocks getting commitments in the past week. Steven is in Raleigh, North Carolina, capital of the Tar Heel State. Good morning, Steven. How you doing?
Hey, Mickey, I'm doing good. Hey, listen, I just got out of physical therapy, but I wanted to talk about your segment two and some of the, you know, top Clemson games over the past few years. Some interesting stuff, and I enjoyed that segment, you know, taking this down memory lane starts to get you ready for the upcoming football season, and I'm excited about that. Hey, you know, you were talking about the Notre Dame game back in 2015, the Hurricane game.
Yeah.
It was interesting because obviously that was a game that I really wanted to go to and experience that. My first son was born the day before that game.
Oh, how about that?
On that Friday. And we were living in Asheville at the time, so obviously the timing just didn't work out. That would have been a game I would have loved to have gone to. Speaking of hurricane games, Mickey, when me and my family, when we first moved to Clayton, North Carolina, where we live now, NC State and Notre Dame actually played
yes.
their football game in a hurricane that year. It was a hurricane that hit Eastern North Carolina, and I'll never forget watching some of that game. Obviously, we were living up here, and it was an actual hurricane. The Clemson Notre Dame game may have been a tropical storm or a front. I'm not real sure, but I couldn't believe that they played up here against Notre Dame.
That was so. That was 2016. That was Hurricane Matthew.
Yep.
NC State won the game 10-3. They blocked a punt to win the game, but that was a slip and slide experience. They played
That's right.
It was an unbelievable football game.
Yeah, and you know, Georgia and South Carolina, they postponed their game to the next day. Remember, they played on Sunday.
Yep, that's right. That's right.
That weekend. And, it was pretty rough up here. It was a lot of rain, obviously. Not a whole lot of wind, but I remember that. You know, Mickey, going back to the 2017 season for Clemson, if you think about that season and how it transpired, you know, Clemson blew out Miami in the ACC title game. They blew out Louisville at Louisville. They blew out Virginia Tech up in Blacksburg. I feel like that was an underrated season just because it was sandwiched in between two national championship years.
Yeah.
But Clemson was dominant that year. Other than the Sugar Bowl against Alabama, you know, they struggled a little bit against that. You know, they blew out South Carolina, I think, 30-0 in 2017. But man, that was a good team, Mickey.
That was a team that they went down to. Well, they hosted Auburn, and it had like 12 sacks that night. Went up, destroyed Louisville, destroyed Virginia Tech, beat NC State in a wild one up in Raleigh. And, and like you said, beat South Carolina and beat Miami 38-3. Miami was ranked, I thought, pretty high going to that one, and they won out in 38-3. And then everybody thought that Clemson, they were the number one team in the country going into the Sugar Bowl, and got beat convincingly that night by Alabama. I had folks tell me, I had someone I trust very highly in football that knew the Alabama staff and that knew the Clemson staff well, and had followed both these teams, and said, man, I'm just telling you, everybody in college football is telling you Clemson's going to beat Alabama convincingly tonight. The very first play was a pretty violent hit, and Alabama set the tone that night, and the Superdome curse continued for Clemson.
Oh man, listen, if Clemson never played in the Superdome again, I would be okay with that.
Hey, let me ask you this. So I think I'm right with saying this. The Notre Dame deal, your son was born the day before. That was Hurricane Joaquin. Isn't that right? I think I'm right with saying. Did y'all name y'all son Joaquin?
No, we didn't.
Okay. Sure.
No, we decided to get against that.
Okay.
So, but I remember, you know, even we were living in Asheville, Mickey, and that entire week before leading up to that weekend, it was just cloudy and dreary and rainy all week. And our son was born, and obviously, you know, when that happens, you know, you want some sunlight. And I'll never forget this, Mickey, and I'll hang up. When we brought our son home from the hospital, it had been cloudy all week, and obviously that weekend, and he had jaundice, right? And where he needed some vitamin D and vitamin C or whatever. So I remember the sun came out, we opened up all the blinds, and we just kind of laid him out on the bed so he could get as much sunlight as possible. And I'll never forget that. Man, he's a big Clemson fan. Mickey, I'm telling you, that joker is going to go to Clemson. And I can't wait. I can't wait. So he is the biggest Clemson fan you could ever meet.
I love it, man. How old is he now? So that's 2007. He's 8 years old?
He's nine.
Nine years old.
He'll be 10 in October. And he told me the other day, he said, Daddy, man, I can't wait to get down to Death Valley. I told him when Clemson makes it out to Omaha, we are going to go. That's on our bucket list.
Fantastic. Isn't that a great age? Isn't that awesome that you and your son gets into all that and asks us questions and follows it? And yeah, that's awesome, man. I'm going through it right now.
Yeah,
really cool stuff.
Yep. Thanks, Mickey. Have a great day, bud.
Good memories there for sure. And that's a father-son moments. Mike, you had that a couple times. Father-son moments, man. Pretty cool. Pretty cool for sure. 654-ROAR. I've got a bunch on our text line. If you remember that season, I had made the claim that what Tony Elliott and Jeff Scott did in 2017 was one of the greatest coaching seasons I've ever seen, because they went from two quarterbacks that sandwiched around Kelly Bryant to where down and distance did not matter. By the way, this is my Brad Hughes going extra mile, 292-3001. Get in touch with Brad Hughes at allstate.com, bradhughesinsurance.com. Brad Hughes can save you money and he can get you better coverage and maybe do both of those at the same time. When Deshaun Watson was a quarterback at Clemson, third and six or third and seven, third and eight, that didn't really matter. That sounds weird to say. When Trevor Lawrence was a quarterback at Clemson, third and nine, you just flip it over to ETN and he'd take off and he gets you a first down. That was easy. Like the idea of punting. No, we're not punting. We're just going to go and get this. I'm going to flip it over there to ETN. He's going to get a first down. With Kelly Bryant, it was different. With Kelly Bryant, and by the way, because you didn't have to manage third down, first down wasn't all that important. You could do different things on first down. And because you didn't, second down didn't really, I mean, I'd say it didn't matter, but down and distance was not the factor. Those two quarterbacks were so dynamic that down and distance, third down and conversions were huge, but they just go convert on third and eight, third and seven, third and six all day long. Well, Bryant did not have that skill set. Kelly Bryant was he had an unbelievable season, but Clemson had to manage third down, and the way they managed third down is they managed second down. The way they managed second down is they managed first down. So you're talking about completely. They did some things different with Trevor than they did with Deshaun, but a lot of stuff they did was kind of the same. But with Kelly Bryant, it was 100% different. And I don't know if Tony Elliott and Jeff Scott get enough credit for the way they managed the Kelly Bryant season and having Clemson. They were going to the college football playoffs. They're the number one seed. They're the number one team in the country with Kelly Bryant at quarterback. Not Deshaun Watson, not Trevor Lawrence, but with Kelly Bryant at quarterback. Great. And Bryant was great. I'm going to take away from that. But Bryant was not Deshaun. He wasn't Trevor. And didn't win a national championship. But these guys still had him number one going to playoffs. Skip the music. Michael Vaughn, 2 minute drill. What do you have for me?
Mickey, just going back to our segment two today, I appreciate Steven's comments there and getting in about segment two. You can jump in on our Ingles poll and let us know. We've got two polls up, actually. Both have five games that would be classified as some of Clemson's greatest. Pick your favorite in those, and tomorrow we'll have a culmination of these two polls. Plus, we'll add a few important games in the last 10 years that Clemson has won in football, and we'll see what your favorite greatest Clemson moment of the last decade.
Landman, Lando, what do you have for me over there?
The original Oakmont, when it was open in 1904, it was a par 80 with eight par fives and one par six.
It's par 80 today, too, boys.
I was just thinking, I bet a lot of these guys wish it was still that, because now it's a par 70 and only two par fives in this entire round. So I bet a lot of those guys wish it was those old courses that they saw.
Oh, well, they're seeing it today, brother, for sure. My Tomb and Joe brought to you by Eric Newton, EricNewton.com. For all real estate needs, EricNewton.com. Get in touch with him, he can help you out. Eric Newton does an amazing job. EricNewton.com. We want any kind of real estate in Clemson, he'll take care of it for you. It's our great friends, Eric Newton and EricNewton.com. Two quick things. Roy McIlroy, J.J. Spahn, two under par, leading the U.S. Open right now. Xander Schauffele, Oberg, among those at one over par. And then I got a quick non-sports take for you. I didn't know this, but I'm listening to a podcast at 5:30 this morning, and I learned something about the cuckoo bird. The cuckoo bird has parasitism, where they don't want to raise their own chicks. So the cuckoo bird takes the eggs that they lay, and they put them in other moms' nests. And the other moms, all they see is like the mouths that are open and just feeds it. So the other moms of the other birds that have a bunch of birds in a nest, they actually feed the cuckoo birds for them. And but the key there is timing. If you do it too soon and it hatches too soon, this is how nature works, man. This is weird. Then the mom will notice it. And if you do it too late, like, wait a minute, that bird's like smaller than my bird's. Like, what are we doing there? They notice that too. So you trick the mom. If you got to do it at the exact right time there. But the cuckoo birds, moms don't even take care of their own kids. They before they even hatch, they put them in other people's nests. Crazy. I just found that very fascinating this morning at 5:30 in the morning. Let me thank Landon, great job. Mike Vaughn, great job. Back with us tomorrow. Looking forward to it. Should be a great Friday show. Thank Tony Morrell, TheBigSpur.com, for moving his date back with us. And Paul Strelo, great information. In case you missed both of those, go to the podcast and get all the clips of the South Carolina recruiting information from both of those guys. Josh Williams tomorrow. Our ReedyLandCo.com's Hunting and Fish Report tomorrow. Roy Philpott tomorrow. Should be a great one. Up next to my favorite people. And Faxon and John, friends, have an absolutely wonderful Thursday, but most importantly, tune in tomorrow. That's we will see you on the radio.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson. WAHT AM 1560, Cowpens. 97.5, Spartanburg. We are the Roar.